Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, Manhattan Beach 360, on October 21st, 2016. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that.
The South Bay Show is brought to you by the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce. The Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce has been serving the city of Manhattan Beach for over 60 years, and they are dedicated to promoting a strong local economy by supporting the community, providing valuable business connections, and representing business with government. The Chamber staff is focused on providing its membership with the tools and resources to help businesses grow and thrive within the community. Their goal is to continually support the individual efforts of business as they work to support the growth of the local economy. For more information on how the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce is working with member businesses and the City of Manhattan Beach to support that growth, visit the website at manhattanbeachchamber.com or call 310-545-5313.
I'm your host, Joe Terry. And you can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose. That's what we talk about here on The South Bay Show. And of course, I'm not alone because of our great partnership with South Bay by Jackie.com and producer of The South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great this morning, Joe. How are you?
I'm great, but hey, you know, I got a good night's sleep, Jackie. I understand you were out last night.
I was out again last night. Yes,
you know,
it's what did they say yesterday? It's festival and award season.
That's right.
So there's all sorts of great events happening throughout the South Bay. And last night, I attended the Best of Manhattan Awards Gala, Toast to the Top. Yeah, it was at the Manhattan Beach Marriott. I think this is the third year they did it. And what they do is they want to recognize all the great organizations and businesses and individuals in Manhattan Beach. You know what makes Manhattan Beach such a great place to live.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it was at the Manhattan Beach Marriott last night, and our friend Jill Brunkhart was the event chair.
Right.
And they have several categories that the community can vote for their favorites. Like they list the categories, mm-hmm. and then you can write in your favorite. So say it's a favorite boutique, and you can just write in who you like the best. And then they have the cutoff date, and they take the top five or six, and then the committee chooses them. So it's a fun night. And last night, remember last year, after the event, we had a couple of people on the show to talk about the event, and none of us knew who the winners were.
right.
we were frantically looking up on the web. But this year, I actually wrote them all. I kept the program. And I circled all the winners, and I'm just going to quickly go through it.
Okay.
It was a great night. It was a great night. So the first award was Pay It Forward, mm-hmm. and it recognizes a business with a proven record of exceptional generosity that has gone above and beyond through partnerships with, investments in, and pro bono work with a variety of organizations in Manhattan Beach.
Mm-hmm.
And the nominees were Beach City's Health District, Chevron, the Murad Family Foundation, the Sims Restaurant Group, and Skechers. And do we have a drum roll?
Oh, yes, right. Sorry, I have to find it.
Okay. Yeah. The winner for the Pay It Forward was Skechers.
Right.
All right. The next one was the Small and Mighty Award, and that recognizes a small business. There we go. Okay. It recognizes a business for their quality service, ethical business practices, and community involvement. And the nominees for that were Bacchus Wine, Grow the Produce Shop, Growing Wild, Manhattan Bread and Bagel, and Taboola Rasa. And the winner is Jackie.
Yeah. You know how I know who the winner is?
How do you know?
Because of Mark Lipp's Happy Neighbors.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Spoiled it. Everybody that got that email.
I got it this morning. And the winner is?
Yes.
Drum roll, please.
Oh,
you
yes.
got you the drum roll. When I say the winner is, okay. The winner is Grow.
Grow.
Grow, the produce shop, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. The next one was Shop Manhattan Beach, and it recognizes an open to shop front retail sales business. And the nominees were Bella Beach, Manhattan Denim, Nico Kai, Trina Turk, and Manhattan Meats, which I thought was really funny. Manhattan Meats was in there. And the winner is Manhattan Meats.
Yay.
Yeah. So then the next award was the Top Chef. And goodness knows Manhattan Beach has
wow.
no shortage of top chefs. Darren Weiss, David LaFerver, Christina Mitzi, Michael Fiorelli, and Petros Benikos. And the winner is David LaFerver. I never know how to pronounce his name.
Yeah.
The next one is An Affair to Remember. It's a Manhattan Beach event that is fun for the whole community with no cost to attend. The nominees were Concerts in the Park, Hometown Fair, Manhattan Beach Open, Manhattan Beach Holiday Fireworks, and the Manhattan Beach Pier Lighting. And the winner is Holiday Fireworks.
Wow.
Yeah. Home Sweet Home is presented to an individual or company within the real estate, wealth management, or mortgage professions, okay? And the nominees there were Ed Kaminsky. He was sitting at my table. Jennifer Karras, Rob Stroike, Susan Kaminsky, Union Bank of Manhattan Beach. And the winner for that was Jennifer Karras.
Okay.
And the next one is Enhancing MB. It acknowledges the tremendous value and benefit brought to the community by a nonprofit org. Nominees were Growing Great, Manhattan Beach Ed Foundation, Rand House Aquarium, the Neptunian Women's Club, and Walk with Sally. And the winner for that was the Neptunian Women's Club.
Oh.
And I think the whole club got up on stage last night.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
That's fantastic.
And the final award is the Best of Manhattan, and it distinguishes the very best of business, the very best of business in Manhattan Beach.
Mm-hmm.
And the nominees there were Fresh Brothers, Manhattan Beach Studios Media Campus, Skechers, and the Strand House. And the winner is Skechers.
Mm.
So that was a fun, fun night.
That's fantastic, and yeah, all those winners are just so involved in the community and do so much for the community every day, every week.
Without them, a lot
right.
wouldn't be happening, you know?
Right, right.
It's important stuff. So anyway, we have another great event that we're going to talk about today.
Well, we're actually going to talk about the end of the Manhattan Beach Pier.
Yeah.
And what is located at the end of the Manhattan Beach Pier, which could be a trivia question.
Yeah.
But it's one of the most unique locations, one of the most unique destinations in all of Manhattan Beach. It's I think many, many, many visitors are shocked and surprised, happily surprised when they get to the end of the pier to see this particular operation going on.
Are you talking about Two Guns Coffee?
Of course.
And
one of the runners up for
right.
one of the premier nonprofits in the city, the Roundhouse Aquarium. Jackie, who are our guests today?
Our guests this morning are Lynn Gross and Nancy Meyer from the Manhattan Beach Roundhouse Aquarium. Lynn Gross has been involved with the Roundhouse Aquarium in Manhattan Beach since 2009. She started as a volunteer and was soon on the board of directors. She just finished a two-year term as president of the board. Her career involved television, but when she retired in 2007, she decided she wanted to give back to Manhattan Beach, which was her home, has been her home since 1961. She wanted to help teach science to young children and learn more about the animals that were in her quote-unquote front yard. Volunteering at the aquarium fulfilled all three goals. She is also a block captain for Neighborhood Watch and an occasional reporter or copy editor for the Beach Reporter. She has served on the boards of both the Neptunian Women's Clubs and the Coordinating Council. Now, during her career, Lynn taught radio, TV, film, writing and theory full-time at California State University Fullerton, where she was also vice chair of the communications department, Pepperdine University, Loyola Marymount University, and Long Beach City College. Among her awards are the Rosebud Award for Outstanding Media Arts Professor in the California State System, the Distinguished Education Service Award, the highest award from the Broadcast Education Association, and the Frank Stanton Award for Distinguished Contribution to Electronic Media Education given by the International Radio and Television Society. She has also been named a Danforth Associate for her outstanding concern for the development of undergrads. Lynn received her bachelor's degree at the University of Pittsburgh, her master's at Long Beach State, and her doctorate at UCLA. She and her husband, Paul, raised three sons in Manhattan Beach and now have four grandchildren. Now, Nancy Meyer is a professional fundraiser and development consultant for nonprofits. She began her association with the Manhattan Beach's Roundhouse Aquarium in January of 2016. Before segueing into the nonprofit world, Nancy was a television and film development executive whose range of experience included feature films, movie for television, miniseries, and series for both network and cable. Nancy served as head of development at NBC Universal Television Studios for the Columbo franchise and is a member of Mystery Writers of America. Her long association with the Television Academy and Television Academy Foundation inspired her interest in education, nonprofit, and philanthropy. She co-authored the Academy of Television Arts and Sciences Foundation and the Princeton Review's Guide to Television, Film, and Digital Media Programs, a college guide for students, parents, and college counselors, published by Random House. She is also a member of the Association of Fundraising Professionals. Now, Joe, this morning we're going to learn about the annual Sea Story Night fundraising event for the aquarium, which takes place on Tuesday, October 25th. Lynn, Nancy, welcome to the program. We are so glad you could join us this morning.
Thank you very much. And thank you for the lovely introduction.
We love introducing our guests really, really well. And thank you for everything that you guys do. I mean, this is the heart of it. Not only, Lynn, are you a member of a runner-up, but you are also a board member for the Neptunian Women's that won. That's fantastic.
Were you up on stage last night?
No, I wasn't.
Oh, okay, so it wasn't the whole club. Okay.
No. Yeah, Lynn, let's start with it's a tradition of service in Manhattan Beach. When we talk about the Neptunian Women's Club, we have to, you know, I'm always marveled at the pictures showing the house, the beach house where the club is located, has been the Neptunian Women's Club house since like 1918 or something like that?
Yeah, I think even a little before that. Well, the Neptunians were formed, I think, in 1909, and then they built the house after that. But it's an amazing place, and they're doing a renovation of that now, and it's really a very good organization. It does a lot of good in the town.
It is, and there are so many worthy organizations. But when you talk about the Roundhouse, it is an absolutely unique
facility.
But it's more than that. It's more than just like, I mean, there are plenty of aquariums up and down the coast in California of different kinds, large and small. But this one, how did this happen? When did the Roundhouse begin?
Well, the aquarium part of it began in the 1970s. Now, the Roundhouse was there for a long time. It was first built back in the 1920s, and it's been rebuilt several times. But it actually has – the aquarium has an interesting history. It was started by a school teacher, Evelyn Hanna, who taught at Grandview School. And what happened in the 1970s was the pier was very run down. It was actually closed most of the 1970s because some motorcycle gangs had taken it over and there was violence out there. We had small children at the time and we forbid them from going out on the pier. It was really a bad place. And the city decided to clean it up. And so they started, and the city wanted to put a restaurant out there in the roundhouse. The roundhouse was open, unlocked, and what was happening there was these people who were out there, the motorcycle gang and such, they'd fish, but then they'd throw the carcasses of the dead fish in on the floor and the walls of the roundhouse. So it was a real mess. So the city wanted to put a restaurant out there, and no restaurant would go out there because they said nobody's ever going to walk to the end of the pier to eat. And so they wanted the city to build a trolley, and the city wouldn't build a trolley. And meanwhile, this Evelyn Hanna just had this idea that this should be a place where children could go to learn about the ocean and the animals in the ocean. And she kept pushing this idea, and the city just kept ignoring her. And finally, they gave up on restaurants, and so they said to Evelyn, go put your whatever it is out there, and as long as you keep the place neat and clean, you can have it. And so that was the beginning. Evelyn got a group of volunteers. They went in, they scraped the dead fish off the walls and the floor of the place. They painted it. They built they got a local artist to donate a mural, so they had a mural of fish, but there were no actual fish in it. There were books and there was this mural. But she'd take children down there, and other people did too, and some volunteer would go under the pier, scoop up some sea stars, take them up so the kids could touch them. And that was the start of it back in, and was incorporated in 1979. And one of the original people, the lawyer who incorporated it, Dick Fruin, is still on our board. So it has a good history there.
You know, Joe, this is what I absolutely adore about doing this podcast, is we learn something new every single time. I had no idea of the history of the roundhouse.
It is fascinating, and it's wonderful to have these conversations. We love this format because everyone would love to have this conversation when they have that question. How did the roundhouse begin? What happened?
I knew about the motorcycle gangs on Pier Avenue. I moved here at the tail end of that. I knew that, but I had no idea about Manhattan Beach. I had no idea about the pier.
Right. The motorcycle gangs may have fished off the Manhattan Beach pier, but then they would drive their motorcycles down to Hermosa and hang out around the lighthouse in Hermosa,
Hermosa Beach Yacht Club.
That was quite a hangout as well for the motorcycle gangs.
Those motorcycle gangs?
I'm sure some of them wound up in jail, but I don't know for sure.
Some of them came. They wound up in jail. Of course, some of them are now lawyers and attorneys and politicians.
Okay, I'll take your word for that.
Badoom. I don't have a badoom sound, you know, because
got to get one of those.
Yes, Lynn, it is an absolutely unique history, and so now it's 1979. The roundhouse has been established as a educational, opportunity, but then when did the aquarium begin, or the keeping of animals like continuously?
Well, slowly, and it's still very slow. What happened was Evelyn had made a deal with the Los Angeles County Schools that all schools in Los Angeles County could come there and bring the school children there. So that started happening, shortly after it was founded. And they charged these schools who came for field trips. Remember the good old days of field trips?
Yeah.
And so the schools came and they paid money. And so now they could pay some of these volunteers who would come and help with the classes. And they even had extra money left over. And so this board, which is called Oceanographic Teaching Station, that's the name of the nonprofit board, the one that I was just president of, and it's just a very tiny little nonprofit, and all it does is run that aquarium. But the board decided to buy some fish tanks. So when they got a little money, they bought a fish tank, and you need a lot of life support system because you got to keep these fish alive. So mm-hmm. they bought what they needed for that, chillers to keep the water cold and things like that. And so there was like one fish tank, and then they got enough money and they put in another. And these were little fish tanks. Mm-hmm. And so they just started with these tanks, and I don't know, somewhere along the way, and I don't know when it was, somebody got the idea, oh, we got some neat stuff in here that we're showing to the school kids. Let's open for 2 hours on Saturday and let the public come in.
Mm-hmm.
And so they did, and then, I mean, that just grew. So it was just a very slow process to make it into the aquarium that it is today. And we're going to be making it even better. So, but it's just crawled along over the years, and kind of below the radar. So.
I love it. Of course, the URL, the website is roundhouseaquarium.org, but it was hard to find the logo for the Roundhouse Marine Studies Lab and Aquarium.
All right, now there's the history. Roundhouse Marine Studies Lab, that's what it was called in the original. It didn't even have the word aquarium. Mm. Somewhere along the way, after they opened it up to the public, they put the word an aquarium. But, you know, Evelyn founded it as the Roundhouse Marine Studies Lab. And Nancy, since the idea was yours, maybe you can talk about the name change that we've got there.
Well, being a little new to the organization, but being very excited by the commitment and determination of the board and the staff, mm-hmm. and now having met so many people in Manhattan Beach, I've been so impressed by the community's commitment and love of great affection for the Roundhouse and how they experience it almost daily in their lives.
Hmm.
We had some conversations in board meetings, and I said, you know, one of the things that I think gets lost in the excitement of seeing whatever new marine life is at the Roundhouse, and the other things that they're known for is that they have these wonderful education programs.
Mm.
They bring classes to the Roundhouse. They have a mobile van. They go out to classes. They do dissections. They do all sorts of ways to help schools who are so challenged to have, science programs these days. So we kind of talked about it in the meeting, and I think it was one of the founders, Dick Fruin, who suggested that we adopt a new title, which is the Roundhouse Aquarium Teaching Center, because we really wanted that fundamental idea of it's a teaching facility, and we do it in all sorts of ways. And that's really where a lot of our expenses go, is to maintain and sustain those education programs. So we're very happy to announce that we are now the Roundhouse Aquarium Teaching Center, and that is certainly part of what Sea Starry Night is meant to do, is kind of to start putting that in people's minds,
mm-hmm.
So they can really think of the Roundhouse is not just a fun fun destination, but also a teaching center where both adults and children can learn so much about marine life and the ocean environment.
Right. Now, Nancy, it's so critical, and many nonprofits, some nonprofits that Jackie and I are very aware of, simply do not have very much experience, training, or the chops for fundraising, and it's critical for many nonprofits. You're a professional. What are the essences of being a professional fundraiser for nonprofits?
Well, I wouldn't say that. I would say it's the commitment to any of the organizations that you work with, a commitment to their mission, knowing that they're having an impact in the community, in their particular field, and basically kind of a lot of research and fact-gathering about the community that supports the particular organization that you're working with. And then there's a lot of analytics and, frankly, science to the nature of fundraising and working with donors and helping them invest in the organization that you're working for.
Hmm.
Yeah, the reason I said luck, and I meant that facetiously, obviously, is we, for this particular fundraiser, we did have something that I think is probably unique in terms of how a fundraiser got started. Hmm. And that is a man named Steve Samulian. And about six months ago, I did not know him, had never met him, but somehow or another, we were Facebook friends. And he wrote a note on my Facebook wall and said that he wanted to talk to me because he was interested in giving back to the aquarium because his teenage son, Sean, was having such a good experience volunteering there. We have a wonderful volunteer program that is mostly teenagers that's outstanding. And his son was having it. So I met with Steve, and we went through his resume and things, and it turned out he has done a couple of fundraisers for politicians. And so we decided what he could do to help us was to put on a fundraiser. And so he and his wife, Hori, have just been knocking themselves out on this, and they've been doing such a great job of putting this fundraiser together for us. And, of course, Nancy has been a guiding light in, leading the things that need to do, because this is much bigger than anything that Steve has ever done, too.
Mm-hmm.
But the origin of it, just came out of the community from someone who's appreciative of what the Roundhouse does. So it's a very interesting approach.
There you go.
Let me ask you something, because the fundraisers for the Roundhouse only got on my radar a couple of years ago. Has there been consistent fundraising, like events?
No. We had no fundraising until 2010.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay.
Yeah. Because the schools were paying from the field trips. We had no need to raise money.
Mm-hmm.
And when the field trips died in the schools, our executive director started writing grant applications, and still does. And so it's tiny little grants, little foundations that are interested in teaching about the environment. And
right.
we get money from them. And so that's been paying for the schools to come. And so that was going along fine until the recession hit.
Yeah.
And then these tiny little foundations, which had their money in the stock market, just some of them just stopped giving grants, and others
wow.
just cut them way back. And we were in really bad shape in 2010, and the Beach Reporter wrote an article about the condition we were in, and we might have to close the aquarium. And a couple members of the community, Heidi Thompson and Jane Davis in particular, they came to our aid, and they threw a fundraiser. We had no idea how to do this.
Mm-hmm.
These two women put together a fundraiser in 6 weeks that bailed us out. And that was the beginning of it. And then we realized that we probably got to keep doing this. And no, we didn't have the expertise. And so that's why another nice member of the community is funding Nancy's position for us. She said, you guys need, you know, you need somebody to do fundraising for you, because you don't. We got wonderful marine biologists who are staff people, but they're not fundraiser, and neither is anybody on the board, because that was never a need.
No, I think there's a great need for professional fundraising for nonprofits. They really should look at hiring professionals.
You know what one of the most in-demand jobs is right now?
Hmm.
I only know this years ago when I was looking for a job as a writer, are grant writers.
Mm-hmm.
You go online, there is a huge need for grant writers.
Right.
Yeah.
Because largely I assume that grant writers are they writing on spec? That is, they get in, they understand the need, they write the grant, and then they get paid when the grant either does or doesn't come in?
Oh, no. Companies. Well, nonprofit organizations are like the biggest growing business. As far as business growth goes, nonprofits are like number one.
Mm-hmm.
And these are people on staff. You
okay.
need a grant writer on staff. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
This is fascinating, but I do want to, Lynn, you brought up the issue.
Before we go on, should we take our station break.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah.
That's fine. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the South Bay Show, and we're talking about the Sea Starry Night, a wonderful event coming up on October 25th, Tuesday, October 25th, the Sea Starry Night fundraising event for the Roundhouse Aquarium. And that's going to take place where?
At the Manhattan Country Club.
Country Club.
At the Manhattan Beach Country Club. That's right. Fantastic. You're going to hear more about that and where to get tickets, and we hope to see you then. But, of course, if you have questions or if you'd like to talk to Lynn or Nancy, please give us a call at 714-242-5288. That's right. You can call in live if you're listening live at 714-242-5288. We'd love to have your comment or question. And so, Lynn, I just wanted to really get the mission of the Roundhouse. Let me see, the Roundhouse Aquarium and Teaching Station out there. And the mission, as I see it, is: the specific and primary purposes are to foster and promote the public study of and interest in the oceans, tidelands, and beaches of Southern California, the marine life therein, and the impact of human populations on that environment. Right?
That's right. Uh-huh.
And I would think a lot of there should be a lot of organizations that are interested in the ocean and interested in the impact of human populations on the ocean in Southern California or California in general would be interested in partially funding the Roundhouse. And how is that going, Nancy?
Well, we have a number of really wonderful people, individuals, and corporations and foundations who sponsor tanks at the aquarium. You mentioned Jill Brunkhart at last night's event. Chevron is one of our Gold Garibaldi sponsors for the Sea Starry Night on Tuesday. But we also have many other, families who have just grown up around or had children and then grandchildren, and they love the aquarium, and they've been very generous in supporting specifically sponsorships for the tanks, but also the foundations have been very generous in supporting the education programs. But like every organization, we always want to improve and we always want to maintain. So it's important that we grow those relationships with foundations around Southern California. Mm. But one of the exciting things about this event is we're being introduced to some new individuals and some new organizations. And whenever it's appropriate, and you can cue me, I just want to make sure that we do mention our great sponsors and that Lynn has the opportunity to say a little bit about the fabulous event committee that Steve helped us put together, because they have really been, they have spearheaded reaching out throughout the South Bay to bring our sponsors together.
Well, I would say, Nancy, it's never a bad time to mention sponsors. So let's get into it. Who are our sponsors?
Well, at the platinum porpoise level, we have the bloom. Believe me, we worked very hard on the alliteration for the different levels. That was provided to us by our director, our executive director at the Roundhouse Boat. At the platinum porpoise level, we have the Bloomfield Family Foundation and Continental Development Corporation.
That's wonderful.
At the gold Garibaldi, and if you don't know it, the Garibaldi is the California state fish. Mm. We have Chevron, and we have the Commerce Casino. And I have a long list of our Silver Seahorse level people. So if you want to break this up in some way, but we have 30 Silver Seahorse level sponsors that I would like to mention, and I don't speed read, so if there's a way you want to break this down or you want me just to go ahead with the list, I'll be happy to
just
do that.
Just go through the list. Yeah.
Okay. All right. We have John, Gio, and Vince from the Altamura Real Estate Group, Al and Andrea Boyer, Dickie and Mark Burton, Coastal Anti-Aging Medical Group, Portia and Andy Cohen, Tommy Derbyshire with Aviva Real Estate Group, LLC, the El Segundo Rotary Club, Farmers Insurance, Carla Ramirez Agency of Manhattan Beach, Dick and Pat Fruin, Lynn and Paul Gross, Jeff and Yaira Gurman with Gurman Wealth Management, Inc., Bethany and Chip Herwig, the Connecta Federal Credit Union, the Cosmont Companies, Manhattan Beach Toyota, the oft-mentioned Neptunian Women's Club, Diane and John Roberts, the Rosenberg Family, Uri and Steve Simulian, Mr. and Mrs. Jared Smith, The Solution, Vertra, Washed Ashore Adornments, Water Replenishment District of Southern California, Daryl Weintraub, West Basin Municipal Water District, David J. White of Sotheby's Realty, and Annette Lombardi Zucker.
Fantastic. That didn't take that long.
Yeah, that took about a minute and a half.
Well, then I guess I should say that if anybody still wants to sponsor, they can do it.
That's the way it's done. Their sponsorship opportunities are still available at the Golden Garibaldi level. Platinum
Porpoise
level and the Silver Sea Star level.
Seahorse.
Seaforth, sorry.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but are you guys about to undertake a major renovation?
Yes, and that that is sort of separate from this Sea Starry Night, but that, as you probably know, is being funded primarily by the Harrison Greenberg Memorial Foundation, which is overseen by the Skechers folks that you've mentioned earlier in the program. So they are involved in what is going to be a really beautiful renovation of the facility. They're calling it the Beautification Project, and I think that's a very apt name for what they're going to have. So that is in the process. We're in the, I guess you call it in our TV terms here, the pre-production phase. We're working on, getting all of the design and everything. It's very complicated because the pier is owned by the state but administered by the city, and there's the Coastal Commission. So, there's about 11 different organizations that have their thumb on the pier, and we have to get approval and permits and everything from all of these organizations. So, the first hammer is not going to happen for a while yet. We have a lot of work to do, but it's going to be something that's very sensational, and we're very very honored to have this this donation to do this renovation. Yes.
I'll be honest. I honestly do not have any idea how anything gets done when you have all of these governmental agencies. You got to jump through these hoops, and it really is a testament to what your committee and your organization, what they're doing. I mean, it's amazing. It's just amazing.
Right.
Well, we're finding out what it's like to jump through all the hoops, and you just take them one at a time, and you can't rush the process anymore, even though you would like to. There's just a whole process goes on here, and it involves several levels of government, and you just deal with it one at a time. But it's a fascinating process, actually.
I bet you that school teacher that decided that it should be a teaching facility didn't have to go through all these hoops. She just said, I want to do this, and I'm doing it. And she did it.
Yeah, right. it was much simpler back then. But she had trouble, too. She had to deal with the various agencies that, didn't want her to do it. So I don't know in that regard how much has changed, but once they got it, they just went in there and did what they wanted to do, and that's a little harder to do these days. But
let's
we're working on it, and it's going to be great.
Let's talk about the event itself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, we've got a lot of really exciting things. This has sort of blossomed into a real event. One thing that happened was we got this idea that we should do something about beach volleyball, because we feel kind of a symbiotic relationship with beach volleyball, because those people are down there practicing right under our eye, and we sort of share the beach and share the views of the ocean and everything. And so I got in touch with some the Olympics, the people that have won the Olympic things, and this Holly McPeak, who was got a bronze medal in 2004. She's been pulling together other beach people and the Olympic people, and we're going to have a little tribute to them that I think is going to be fun. They're going to toss around a volleyball, and then we're going to auction off the volleyball. It's the start of our live auction portion of it. So that's just adding a little bit to it. We've got some people that came from this wonderful committee that Nancy talked about earlier. We're going to have some stand-up comedy from Danny Zucker, and we have
a really good J.D. Roth, who is going to be the MC for our little program. So the program that we're going to have has sort of grown, and it's going to be really a lot of fun that the people are going to have. And then we have a silent auction that will be going on, and we'll have the live auction that J.D. will be doing for us. So there's going to be a lot of fun things that will be happening, and it's a really good group of people. I mean, the community has really come forth to buy the tickets and everything, so there's going to be good people there and good food and good fun, and so we're really looking forward to the event.
And I should also mention that we one of the things that our committee members said to us as we were planning is that it's a Manhattan Beach fundraising event. You have to have music. So we do indeed have music. At the beginning, we'll have the Mira Costa Jazz Combo. This is an amazing group of young high school musicians, and the program has won many awards and been featured, I think, all over the country. And we also have the local band Volicious. So we are living up to the demands of our committee. There will be dancing. There will be music, yes. There will be live music, and there will be dancing. Lynn and I will be sitting off on the side.
All right, that seals it. My wife wants to go.
Okay.
All right, well, you get the tickets by going to the website that you mentioned earlier, and we're giving the tickets. The tickets are through Eventbrite, so it's a real easy process. You just go to the roundhouseaquarium.org, and it's right there. You just scroll down a little bit to the page where you can buy the tickets, and so we're just about sold out on the tickets, so do go get them. But
not sold out yet. You're not sold out yet. You still have a couple.
No, we are not sold out yet. No, there are still tickets that are available. And, I mean, the event is just a couple days away now, so there will be people buying the tickets. But, yes, right. We are not sold out, so definitely go and get the tickets there. There are $125 for one ticket, or if you buy two tickets, which is what most people are doing, it's $200. So it's a very reasonable event to come to.
Yeah, we all know how last minute so many people are. You know, they'll see something about it on the internet, or they'll listen to the show and hear about it. Like, oh, that sounds good. Oh, it's tomorrow. Okay, let's buy some tickets. And then people are always frustrated when, oh, they're sold out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the procrastinators get in there at the end. We have certainly seen that with our other fundraising events too. But I understand that you don't know what you're doing until you get very close to the time. So a lot of it you can understand that people are doing it at the last minute.
Yeah.
But maybe since Nancy read a list, maybe I should read the list of the people. We did pull together this very high-powered committee because we have known some people through the roundhouse that have worked for us, like Heidi Thompson, who did the first fundraiser that we had back in 2010, and others. And we pulled them together, and Steve, of course, knew a lot of people too. So we pulled together this group of a cross-section of citizens of Manhattan Beach who have gone out and asked other people to become the sponsors, and it's just been something that's kind of like a snowball that's gotten bigger and bigger as it rolled down the hill. But we've got this wonderful list. So if you will give me, I think it takes 30 seconds, Tree.
Oh,
take
your time. By all means, go ahead.
Okay, well, got them here in alphabetical order, but there's Andrea Boyer and Christy Cronin Hurst, Cheryl Farr, Lisa Gregorian, myself, and Jeff Gurman and Yara Gurman, the husband and wife who've also been good at donating. And then Nancy's on the committee, and Heather and Tyrion and Michelle Kim and Devin Longella and Jackie May and Valerie Hill, who is our executive director of the aquarium. And I should mention we've got a wonderful, wonderful staff. Valerie and Donna R. Martin and Brittany Oleus, and then our aquarist, Eric Martin, who I think everybody in town knows. He's just very well known out there. So Valerie has been on the committee too. And then Steve Simulian and his wife, Hori Simulian, and Janet Solomon Seward, and Heidi Thompson, and Elaine Trotter, and Dickie Van Breen Burton, Julie Watts, David White, and Annette Zucker. So those are the
I'll
people
just
that...
throw in, I think we missed Lauren Cosmont, but I just want to say...
Oh, okay, sorry.
Yeah.
I was...
Yeah.
along
on been, the...
So.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just been an incredibly hardworking committee. It's not an in-name-only committee. Everyone has just really made extraordinary efforts.
It takes an army. It takes an army to get this stuff done.
Yeah, oh, yeah, and there's an awful lot of loose ends to tie up, which is what we're doing now because the event is coming so close, so you know, we've got to get all the posters made and everything and get our step and repeat made, and you know, there's everything that sort of comes together at the very end, and so it's good to have this group. There's a whole group that's going to be meeting at the Simulian's house to put together all of the silent auction items. We have over 40 silent auction items, which are just absolutely amazing
things
that people have conquered.
Can you give us an idea of some of the bigger items?
Sure. We'll give you another list here, but I'll start with the ones we're going to auction off of the live auction part. Maybe, Nancy, you can be looking at those 40 that we've got for the silent auction and pick out a few that you think it would be good to highlight. But we're going to start, as I mentioned, by auctioning off this volleyball that the Olympic people will have been tossing around, and they'll personally autograph it for the whoever wins, you know, however they want it autographed. So that will start it off. And then we have a couple other sports things. We have a suite for a Kings game and a suite for Lakers games. And so, you know, these are the big Bucks seats and everything with parking that they have. So those are both at the Staples Center. And then we have this Modern Family package. It's a lot of souvenirs from Modern Family, but the really big thing is getting to spend a day on the set of Modern Family with a couple of the producers, you know, leading you around and telling you everything that is going on. So I think that's going to be something that's really going to be quite exciting to auction off. And we have a tour and lunch of the state capitol by State Senator Ben Allen. So you have to get yourself up to Sacramento, but I think people will like that too. Ben is coming to the event, and he's going to be presenting some things to the aquarium. We're getting a certificate of some sort. And also, there's been a flag flying over the U.S. Capitol in our honor, and so we're going to get the flag. These are just some of the fun things that are going to be happening there. But anyhow, there will also be this auction item for Ben Allen. And then Mike Sislas, who I'm sure you are aware of, he has given us a lot of things for the auction. He's been just extremely generous.
Mike Sislas? Who is he?
he was on the show yesterday.
Okay, well, I'm sure Mike is everywhere and been very busy opening his new hotel down in Redondo Beach. So we really appreciate getting the little snatches of his time that we've gotten. But
wow.
He feels that the Strand House is very closely related related to the aquarium because of its location right down there. He's at the foot of the pier, and we're at the end of the pier. So we're going to be auctioning off this really super-duper dinner at the Strand House for 10 people. And hopefully Mike will be there and talking about it a little bit, too. So those are our live auction items. I forget anything, Nancy, and I think I got them.
No, I think that's everything. And I'll just say about the other auction items, there is everything. There's everything from fine jewelry to fine art objects to signed sports memorabilia. To certificates for dinner at different restaurants. There's a day of haircut, blow dry, manicure, makeup at a very exclusive Beverly Hills salon. There's electronic equipment. There are tickets to Jimmy Kimmel, to Ellen DeGeneres. It's a really exciting, range of items. And I should point out of soccer lessons for 8 kids from Mia Hamm. So fabulous. I mean, everybody says their auction items are awesome. Our auction items are awesome. So we hope that people will be very interested and have fun raising money in that way as well, but also, getting a terrific auction item.
Wow.
I'll tell you.
Yeah, there's you can have an eye exam and a teeth whitening, too. Those are two that I particularly liked that we got. So.
Oh, I could use both of those, an eye exam and a teeth whitening. Yeah. I think that Mia Hamm soccer lesson is going to be huge because soccer is so big here in the South Bay. Can you imagine some kid go, oh, yeah, I trained with Mia Hamm this weekend.
Yeah. What do they say? You can never be too rich, too thin, or your teeth too white.
Well, there you go. Okay. Actually, I have seen people whose teeth are too white. It's scary to behold.
Yeah.
They're no longer white. They're blue or something. Yeah.
Right. Oh, no, yes. No. I don't think that's not our auction item.
Well, it sounds like this is going to be going on for years and years and years. You have such a huge and a wonderful start. What a great legacy event, Nancy, to get this going.
Well, it is very exciting, and as the saying goes, it takes a village.
Oh, yeah.
And Manhattan Beach is certainly more than a village. But I am tremendously impressed with the commitment of the people who live there to their community and to we're not the only nonprofit there. But on Tuesday, we're going to be the only nonprofit.
All right. Well, yeah, I was just going to put that out there. Tuesday, October 25th, Sea Story Night at the Manhattan Beach Country Club. It's a fundraiser for the Roundhouse Aquarium. It's from 7 to 10 p.m. There are still...
It's actually to 11 now.
11,
we
okay.
Extended the dancing, yes. We're giving more dancing, so it's going to be 7 to 11.
Let's just say 7 till question mark.
okay.
There are still a few tickets available. Individual ticket is $125, or bring your significant other, and it's only $200 for a pair of tickets. It's going to be a great night for a great cause. Everybody needs to go to this.
Right. And I beg to differ. I think there are many different nonprofits, certainly in Manhattan Beach, but there is only one location that is governed by the city, by the state, by the Coastal Commission, by all of these different agencies. That Roundhouse Aquarium is an absolutely unique environment and
it's another gem in the South Bay.
It's another gem. And I have to say, Lynn Gross, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me. We were delighted to be here.
It's been a wonderful conversation, and we discovered many things that we didn't know, and we want to know more, so we'll have to do this again sometime soon. And Nancy Meyer, thank you so much for joining us today.
And thank you for inviting me.
It's been quite an education. We love it. It's great. Roundhouseaquarium.org, ladies and gentlemen. And that's our show for today. And of course, this week, everyone have a fantastic weekend. Get your rest in so that you can be ready for Tuesday. And that's all for us. Thank you, Jackie.
Always a pleasure, Joe.
Now, Lynn and Nancy, hold on. Don't go away. And we will see you all next week. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.